Welcome to today's podcast by Medinews. My name is Desmond Fernandez, and I have great pleasure in welcoming once again Margaret Owen to the programme. Welcome, Margaret. Margaret is the Director of Widows for Peace Through Democracy, WPD. WPD works to make sure widows of all ages, irrespective of religion, class or nationality, are protected from discrimination and violence and can enjoy their full human rights. It prioritises widows in the world's most war-torn and poverty-stricken countries, helping widows organisations in each country to fight for a better life for widows and their children. Margaret is also a patron of Peace in Kurdistan, a UK barrister, and an international women's human rights activist. WPD has ECOSOC status at the United Nations, which focuses on the human rights of widows and wives of the disappeared. Margaret is also a founder member of GAPS UK, Gender Action on Peace and Security, that addresses implementation of UNSCR 1325 and subsequent UNSCR gender-related issues in the Women, Peace and Security agenda. Margaret also works on a variety of challenges relating to the rights of minority groups, and she received an OBE in 2013 for her contribution to the advancement of women's human rights, and especially for her pioneering work on widows' rights. Now, today's podcast focuses on the UK and Boris Johnson's government's questionable stances regarding, as Margaret described it in a letter to The Guardian this June, its arms sales and trade deals to racist, misogynist and authoritarian regimes whose wars create unaccounted millions of widows of all ages and violate the UN Arms Trade Treaty, end quote. In particular, today, Margaret will be focusing on Turkey, whose military and armed interventions use UK equipment that has gone into many of its key military vehicles that have been implicated in human rights violations in northern Iraq or Iraqi Kurdistan, where Turkey is involved in ongoing cross-border operations that have drawn the concern of groups such as the Defend Kurdistan Initiative and Christian Peacemaker Teams, and where Turkey also has highly questionable and human rights related violations related interventions in northern East Syria, Libya, and Turkey itself. In a report covering the first half of last year, for example, alongside concerns raised from several human rights organisations and the Autonomous Administration of Northern East Syria, ANIS, also known as Rojava, the UN Commission of Inquiry in Syria had also stated that, and I quote, in Afrin, Rezaline, and the surrounding areas, the Turkey-backed Syrian National Army may have committed the war crimes of hostage-taking, cruel treatment, torture, and rape. End quote. Now, I said a lot of other human rights organisations have, in their reports, confirmed that that is the opinion they hold, that it has committed such crimes. Allegations have also been made concerning the reported use by Turkey of chemical weapons against Kurdish fighters in Iraqi Kurdistan. Yet through all of this, the Campaign Against the Arms Trade, amongst others, have criticised the UK stance. Others have also criticised the UK government's silence in condemning Turkey's military operations that have resulted in many reported human rights violations and in not halting the UK arms trade with Turkey at this juncture. The UK government has also been criticised for not decriminalising the PKK in a wider national and international initiative aimed at trying to create a peaceful solution to the conflict with the PKK, rather than one which actually further intensifies conflict. Obviously, we can see the issue here that if the UK is keen on promoting its arms trade, there is perhaps a conflict of interest here with regard to its initiatives, which might have attempted to push for a peaceful resolution. Now, regarding the UK government's recent security, defence and foreign policy review, Margaret also noted in The Guardian this March that, and I quote, austerity cuts, Brexit, the reduction in our foreign aid, and our arms sales to authoritarian and misogynist regimes have irrevocable impacts on women and girls worldwide. But there is far too little reference in this review to women, peace and security concerns, despite brief mentions of girls' education and the UK's work with the African Union. The reality, Margaret adds, and I quote again here, is that we support or engage in armed conflicts, and our refusal to condemn states that target women for rape, murder and bereavement is shameful. So there is also hypocrisy in the review. Who on earth do we think we are? No longer in Europe. We have lost our moral compass and we used to lead the world on women's empowerment and gender equality. And I just end the quote there. It's also worth noting that TRT World in March reported that, and I quote from it, the recently published UK Defence Review singles out Turkey as one of the important pillars of Britain's global strategic vision. The document by the country's Minister of Defence follows the Integrated Review of Security, Defence, Development and Foreign Policy, which outlined Britain's priorities following Brexit in the years to come. In the document, the UK Minister of Defence states that Turkey is a crucial NATO ally, essential to regional security. After the US, Turkey has the largest standing army in NATO. The UK government sees Turkey as playing a role in many aspects of wider regional security, including the fight against terrorism. And I end the quote there. Regarding Turkey, TRT World quotes the UK Ministry of Defence stating, and again I quote, "We will work with Turkey to cement a long-term relationship on operations, including NATO reassurance measures, capabilities, and industrial cooperation." The review underscores the importance the UK places on Turkey to provide security for the wider alliance and ensure that emerging security challenges can be tackled together. Turkey will likely see the report as a confirmation of the unique relationship between the two countries that, while present before Brexit, has taken on even more importance after the UK's departure from the European Union. And I just end the TRT World quote there. Now, it's worth noting that such reassurance of collaborating with Turkey's armed forces comes at a time when a multitude of human rights organisations have detailed the state terrorism perpetrated by Turkey in Turkey against Kurdish civilian populations, and indeed other populations, and in international contexts, in Syria, Iraqi Kurdistan and Libya, just as a few examples. In January this year, Sir Dominic Chilcot, British ambassador to Turkey, recalling that Turkey and the UK are both NATO members, reportedly stated that, and I quote, "defence cooperation and defence industry cooperation are important components of the bilateral relationship. In the defence industry sector, there is no doubt that the collaboration on the TFX5 project is an extremely important project. The UK is very committed to work with Turkey in the defence sector and pursue our defence industry sectors," he stated. I end the quote there. Now, the campaign against the arms trade, just before I sort of pass it on to Margaret, I just wish to add this final points here of the perspectives of the campaign against the arms trade, which is noted in an update in June this year that, and I quote, "Turkey is a major customer for UK arms, which have supported its repressive regime and brutal war against the Kurds. The UK has approved £1.3 billion worth of arms sales to Turkey since 2013. UK arms companies help Turkey develop arms drones, and BAE Systems is helping Turkey develop its own fighter aircraft. Since the failed coup in July 2016 and the crackdown against opposition groups that followed, the UK has approved permanent single individual export licences, called SEALs, export licences worth £806 million for arms exports to Turkey. Since the outbreak of the protests in May 2013, the figure rises to £1.3 billion. In addition, 114 open individual export licences, OEILSs, were issued for exports to Turkey, allowing for unlimited deliveries of the equipment specified in the license. Turkey remains, the campaign against arms trade notes, a priority market for the UK government's arms export unit. Most UK exports of equipment for the A400M, the F-35 and the TFX programmes are covered by open general export licences, OGELs, which are even more expansive than OEILSs, allowing the license-free export of a wide range of equipment specified in each license to countries listed in the license. Quite shockingly, as the campaign against the arms trade notes, and I quote, OGELs are valid indefinitely until revoked. Therefore, it is likely that a large proportion and possibly a majority of UK arms exports to Turkey are not revealed in the available data on arms exports to Turkey, including the figures discussed above. In recent years, Turkey has become a major player in the production and use of unarmed aerial vehicles, UAVs or drones, including armed drones. Turkey has deployed armed drones extensively in its wars against the Kurds, as well as its intervention in the civil war in Libya. Research in 2019 by Jerry Gibbons, an activist with Brighton Against the Arms Trade, revealed how Turkey's development of armed drones was helped by the supply of technology and components from Brighton-based arms company Edo MBM, now a subsidiary of US company L3 Harris. In October 2019, following the Turkish offensive in Rojava in northern Syria, the UK government announced a halt to new export licences for arms sales in Turkey. However, as the campaign against the arms trade really significantly notes, and I quote, existing export licences remain valid for use, end quote. As the campaign against the arms trade noted with considerable concern, and I quote, Turkey severely represses its Kurdish minority. Turkish military assaults on the Kurdish-majority Rojava autonomous region of northern Syria have killed hundreds of civilians and displaced hundreds of thousands. I end the quote there, but really over to you there, Margaret, really, about your perspectives on all these issues, which I know you've been concerned about for some time.
Okay. Well, Desmond, you've put it all so vividly. It's difficult even to follow you because you've said it all. But I'm talking now about the arms trade. And it's through arms at the point of a gun that in so many countries, women are subject to rape, to sexual torture, to forced prostitution. You know, the proliferation of even small arms plays a huge factor in femicide, violence against women. All these countries where guns proliferate, women are the victims. So many women die because of these guns. Sexual violence, abuse, forced slavery, prostitution, women in camps for refugees, internally placed prisons are routinely gang raped and abused because of armed violence. And we have since 2005 an international arms treaty in which over 153 UN members agreed that they would not sell arms to regimes that violated human rights. So now I'm going to look at what we do in this country. And I'm going to take two countries as examples. But the first country I'm going to talk about is Turkey. As I said already, Turkey has one of the highest rates of femicide in the world. And Turkey, under the Erdogan regime, now all the evidence shows, is both racist and misogynist. And it has gone into Syria. It is conducting a genocide against the Kurds. And when it entered Syria, supported by NATO, and that is questionable because Turkey was never being attacked by Syria, it went in rhetorically to fight ISIS, but in fact it went in to attack the Kurds, and there is much evidence of how it was actually supporting jihadist militias, including ISIS, and all those lawyers and activists who protested about Turkey going into Syria, and now many of them are in prison, accused of supporting terrorist organizations. The tragedy is that just maybe a couple of weeks ago, another incredible, brave, young woman lawyer, Ebru Tahir, died at the end of a hunger strike because she was one of the lawyers who was sent to prison because she was defending people who were lawyers and journalists who were criticizing the regime for what they were doing in Syria. And just in the last few weeks, we hear that Turkey, not only in Syria, but in northern Iraq, is using chemical weapons and is attacking Sinjar, the homeland of the Yazidis, with chemical weapons. It's attacking schools and hospitals, the Mahmud refugee camp, home to 12,000 Kurdish refugees and to Yazidis who've escaped sexual slavery by ISIS. And Turkey is one of the UK's greatest allies. Extraordinary, with all the evidence of what Turkey has been doing, both in southeast Turkey, northern Kurdistan, in southern Kurdistan, the KRG, and in Syria. In violation of international law, Turkey is not even on the list of countries of concern that the Foreign Office keeps. As for the arms trade, ever since Brexit, this government is keen to go anywhere to find countries that we can sign trade deals with and sell arms to. And we, along with the United States, are two of the biggest sellers of arms to Turkey. And yet, in the Ministry of Defence, which also has a committee to monitor and identify regimes that we should not be selling arms to, I think there are hardly any women on any of these committees, and somehow Turkey is not on their list of concerns. When I think about what Turkey is doing in Syria, it's attacking Rojava, that is the autonomous administration of northeast Syria, which is home to the most miraculous, unique, extraordinary women's liberation movement, the Kurdish Women's Liberation Movement, which is a model for, I think, every country in the world, including our country, because it puts women's empowerment and gender equality absolutely central. I mean, these are the words of Abdullah Öcalan, who's been in prison on the Isle of Imrali for over 20 years. I think he's the first man in history to really speak out and say, you cannot have a democratic and just society unless you have central to it women's empowerment and gender equality. And yet this is exactly where Turkey is attacking, and the UK government is silent. It is unbelievable that we should be supporting a country which is so overtly misogynist, which is cracking down in Turkey on women's NGOs, which is imprisoning women lawyers, women journalists, women's rights organizations. And we are silent even when it is going into northern Iraq and again attacking anybody who is supporting or is a Kurd. As for Saudi Arabia, we also sell arms to Saudi Arabia. And this is one of the, well, at least objections to these sales. Saudi Arabia is one of the worst countries in which to be a woman. And it did go for judicial review, but it was agreed that, these were just, it wasn't, anyway, they did not find enough evidence to stop arms to Saudi Arabia. And yet we now know that the British are with Saudi Arabia, even in Yemen, where women are being raped, killed, made homeless. And yet we have British troops in Yemen near the airport, although Parliament was lied to when it was asked if we had British troops in Yemen. The impact of the arms trade on women and girls is not sufficiently addressed. The very use of whether it's conventional arms or chemical warfare or nuclear arms has a huge impact upon women's lives. It actually destroys the planet. It's also destroying the planet. It actually pollutes the soil. It fills land that should be used for food security with landmines, IHGs, explosives. Armies in countries destroy the very environment that is so natural, environment that is so important for women and girls, so that at least they have food security and they can feed their families. And in this country, there are very, very few women on any of these committees that decide which countries we can sell arms to. I find it extraordinary that we continue to support a country like Turkey, which is conducting such massive war crimes, crimes against humanity on such a massive scale, not just in Turkey, but in Syria and in Cyprus and in northern Iraq, also in Libya. We should be supporting Rojava. We should be supporting the Kurds in their call for self-determination. We should be stopping doing Turkey's dirty work in this country. You know, in this country, we also persecute and harass Kurdish activists here. And people who have gone to Syria to fight, to support the YPG and the YPJ, when they come back, they are also prosecuted charged with supporting terrorist organizations. Our silence is shameful. We should be leading the world on stopping all arms manufacturing and arms trade to countries like this. I'd like us to take the lead and show some ethics and some morality on this issue. I think that's all I can say.
Well, no, and really, thank you very much for that. I also recall in earlier discussions, you'd mentioned how the Foreign Office doesn't even consider Turkey in its list of countries of concern. I don't know if you could just briefly elaborate on that, because that's shocking in itself, given all these wider reports of, you know, alleged use of chemical weapons, interventions in Libya, in Syria, in Iraqi Kurdistan, which is so shocking. And also, you know, as so many reports highlight, really shocking state terrorism against Kurdish and othered populations in Turkey itself.
Well, you remember, I think it was about 5 years ago. I wish I'd had maybe some toy pistol on me to do a citizen's arrest of President Erdogan. President Erdogan was invited to number 10 Downing Street, and he then was invited to have tea with the Queen about 5 years ago. And I remember, yeah, I couldn't get there in the morning, but I went outside Downing Street to make a speech later in the afternoon. But in that morning, when a whole lot of Kurds were demonstrating the other side of Whitehall, opposite Downing Street, mounted a whole lot of other people who were pro-Erdogan, pro the AKP, came along, and the mounted police somehow managed to push the two groups together, so that there was some maybe altercation or beginning, yes, of violence, so much so that it was the Kurds who got arrested, not the supporters of Erdogan. So there we are. Erdogan was treated, you know, as a real celebrity. He was honoured with a visit to Downing Street and tea with the Queen, when here we have a war criminal who should be prosecuted at the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. And what we should be doing, is looking at what was happening in Syria. After all, it was the YPG and the YPJ, those defense forces of the Kurds, that were the only local troops on the ground fighting ISIS. And at one point, the Americans were there. And then they disappeared. And there and we allowed, Americans left, and we allowed Turkey to come in, take Adlib, take Afrin.
Yes.
They'd taken Kobani. They were using ethnic cleansing. They were supporting ISIS. Thousands of Kurds had to flee the Afrin, which was Kurdish, and many of them are now IDPs or in refugee camps in Al-Hol. And we are silent. We are. Why are we silent? Because Brexit is the cause, I think, that we are now no longer interested in this country in human rights. Remember Robin Cook putting human rights into foreign policy? That's a long ago, distant echo of a historical time. Now what matters is trade and arms sales. And this government doesn't care about human rights at all. And it certainly doesn't care about women's rights. In Turkey, there are so many women now in prison, women who were members of parliament, women who were co-chairs, mayors, lawyers, journalists. Many of the women are in prison. And when women are in prison, yes, it's terrible for men to be in prison, for anyone to be in prison. But when women are in prison, they can be tortured in all sorts of other ways. They can be sexually tortured, they can be raped, they can be sexually humiliated. And these are things that are going on in Turkish prisons all the time. And we have extraordinary women like Leyla Gulen, who was an MP, then she was a co-mayor. And she nearly died 2 years ago on a hunger strike. And now she's back in prison as well. And we're going to see many more deaths. Women and men, women on hunger strike seem to be even more vulnerable than men to actually losing their lives. So it is extraordinary that we continue to support Turkey. And we do from time to time, we try to get questions. We've got really good people asking questions about Turkey in the House of Commons, in the House of Lords. We ask whenever we go to the Foreign Office annual human rights and democracy meetings, we ask about what they're doing about Turkey, and we get really pathetic answers about, well, we're talking behind the scenes, or we're using, but they're not talking about it at all. We've lost our moral compass. That's all I can say. And we have to keep speaking up and hoping that somehow the oppositions will, and the, that they'll all come together, and that we can make this government accountable for the terrible crimes of which we are, our silence, you see, Desmond, our silence over these arms sales makes us, the UK government, complicit in war crimes and crimes against humanity. So it's important that we keep up the struggle and we keep up speaking and asking our government to change its policy. But I don't think it's going to happen very quickly, now that we have Liz Truss as our foreign secretary, who clearly doesn't seem to have a concern at all, even though she also is the Minister for Women and Equalities. She doesn't seem to address or show any concern for the injustices in our policies. Thank you.
Well, really, thank you, Margaret, for that. As you say, the shocking thing is the structural violence perpetrated by Turkey against its Kurdish othered population, also women in Turkey, as we well know, with Turkey even pulling out of the Istanbul Convention, and obviously the incredible structural violence in Syria, in Iraqi Kurdistan, in Libya, and in other places. As you say, you know, many people have even identified it as perpetrating a genocidal policy against the Kurds. And again, as you say, it's quite shameful because the British government's collusion in the context of the arms trade, in the context of not attempting to decriminalise the PKK to push forward a peaceful resolution rather than an armed, further armed interventions, which obviously will assist it with its arms trade. These are all really critical and shocking concerns. Thank you so much for raising them. And I think, as you say, the UK government is complicit in the arms sales when there is abundant public evidence, as well as I'm sure private evidence it would have collected, to outline these crimes being perpetrated by the Turkish state. And as you say, you know, in that whole context, our collusion in bilateral terms, in terms of the UK being a NATO partner, assisting another partner and helping it cover up its crimes, and in being silent, and again, as you say, silent in the face of an assault against Rojava or Arnez, where, as you've indicated, there is such an incredible revolution looking at gender equality, gender rights, women's rights, in, you know, so many model aspects, which, as you say, make it stand out. And yet, obviously, the British government is enabling or allowing Turkey to attempt to demolish or destroy that incredible, inspirational initiative. Once again, thank you so much, Margaret. And I'm also really pleased that you've highlighted the other issues of concern in a wider context, what's happening in Yemen and in other places. You know, these are really substantive issues where we, as you said, in a main way, by covering up issues or being silent, by facilitating the arms trade, collude and are therefore accessories to these crimes. Thank you so much for outlining these issues, Margaret. And once again, I'm sure the listeners will really have appreciated all the substantive issues and concerns you've raised. Thank you.